Hey, Rob, are you with me?
Yeah. Hey, Joe.
Great. This is Indy's Local Flavor. Let's see. Thought I had everything here. I missed a couple. Things. Let's see if I can find it really quick. Okay. Just had to make a quick note here. Our sponsors that sponsor Indy's Local Flavor, as always, my buddy Josh at Ray Skillman. If you're looking for a car, you need to get hold of this guy. He will treat you right. His cell phone number is 317-665-6559. Once again, Josh Skillman there. Excuse me, Josh Cones at Ray Skillman. 317-665-6559. Also, my buddies will take care of you if you need car repair or oil changes or right now is the perfect time if you want to do a fault tune-up. Go out and contact my buddies at Jones Family Auto. You can call Mike at 317-897-7724 or my buddy Johnny Black at 765-647-2825. Once again, that's Jones Family Auto. If you need your winter tune-up right now, call Mike Jones, 317-897-7724 or Johnny Black at 765-647-2825. Also, if you've never... I'm very biased. I think this place is the best Asian place in town. It's Yin Ching. They serve lunch and dinner. They have a carryout available. Their style is a Northern Peking or Szechuan style dishes. I don't believe they're dining in yet, but you can get the carryout. They're closed Monday, so that they can get a little break. Lunch on Tuesday through Friday is 11 to 2. They have a Sunday buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30. Dinner is Tuesday to Thursday, 5 to 10. Friday and Saturday is 4 to 10:30. And then Sunday is 4:30 to 10:30. They're at 8512 East Washington Street. Their phone number is 317-899-3270. The website is yinchingking.com. The dishes I've had are great. I always get the crab rangoon, the sweet and sour, whatever you want, the sweet and sour shrimp or the chicken is excellent. They have orange chicken as well, and the pineapple beef is outstanding. If Asian food isn't your thing, then the good, dependable pizza is Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza. They have three great locations, the north side at Fort Bend at 317-986-4545 or on the south side in Greenwood, 317-883-8993. Or the place I normally go to is the one in Irvington on the east side at 317-356-6612. They're open from 11 to 2. They do carry out and delivery. I believe you can dine in now and make sure you say hi to Katie, Liz, or Mike if you're going to the Irvington location. And the pizzas, I haven't had a bad pizza there yet. My, a couple that I really like a lot is the Slaughterhouse Five. And then there's the Cheese Louise, and then they also have specialty pizzas when the seasons change. And if you can only eat a veggie pizza, the SoCal is really good as well. So if you want a good pizza, I always try to go. If I'm going to go out to eat and spend my hard-earned money, I try to eat local. So, Rob, you ever been to Yin Ching, or what's your favorite Asian place?
There's a place around the corner here from where I live called Bamboo House, and I like it a lot. I will check that one out, though. I love General Tso's chicken quite a bit. I love comparing it here and there. As far as Giacomo, you may have just made history with me. You have used the term Slaughterhouse Five in two different contexts in two different days. I heard yesterday Kurt Vonnegut, they're doing a banned book reading or special, and Slaughterhouse Five is going to be on that. So congratulations. Yeah. You've completed the crossword puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I unfortunately have not read that book. But
I haven't either. And I thought about it. I was like, I got to get it and read it.
Right. I don't know why it's banned, but it's nutty. You know, I think they banned Wizard of Oz at one time. And I'm like, come on.
I remember growing up and being in high school, and my psychology teacher in high school, he was a very cool guy. Very cool guy. I mean, he taught like the next generation after I left there. But he was on the fence because we were always having discussions on whether we could watch Clockwork Orange. And that's like an X-rated movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's hardcore.
Yeah. You know, but no, just stuff that's out there. But I mean, that provokes thought and speech and the whole thing that... that's what I think a lot of that is supposed to be about. So,
well, my favorite book of all time that didn't even see the light of day in my high school because it was conservative was Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
So that didn't even see the light of day at my high school at all. And I'm like, because of the F-bomb.
Yeah.
So
I have read it. And I think the most controversial one that we read when I was in high school would have been something like probably like Animal Farm.
Right. Yeah. Right. By George Orwell. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, if you go down the banned book list, I mean, it's like all the heavy hitters. So.
Right.
So we're going to wrap up week three in the NFL. We're going to talk about fantasy as well. And do you do the baseball thing, Rob, or no?
I do not.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a diehard of any team in baseball. I can sit and watch it. I have not this year, and it's pretty much due to COVID. And it's an abbreviated season. So yeah, I'm not there this year.
I mean, I'm happy for the Cubs and the Reds. Don't get me wrong, but I don't follow baseball anymore. I just don't.
I used to a long time ago. I used to, buy the trading cards. I've got a box of them somewhere.
Me too.
I wish I could find them.
I'm a classic baseball guy. But, yeah, after the strike in 92, I was kind of like, eh.
I remember watching the World Series in San Francisco, and the screen went dark because it got hit by an earthquake. Yep.
Yes. Right. And I don't really follow hockey, but the NHL's in the playoffs as well, so I don't follow that either.
I was early on before COVID hit, and I was pretty sure the Lightning would be there, and they were. They just didn't, No, Tampa Bay did. Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they're in there. Yeah, they're playing.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so the breakdown for last week, and just let me know what you think on this, Rob. So should the Falcons fire their defensive coordinator? And I brought this up last night.
Yeah, and special teams. From the play I saw when it was in crunch time, it wasn't just the defense. There was a penalty. close to the beginning of the end for the Falcons. But here's the other thing, and it's kind of like the Chargers Kansas City game in week two.
Yeah.
The thing I omitted was the X factor that happened in that Chicago Falcons game was Trubisky got pulled and Foles came in.
Right.
So they probably hadn't been doing their homework as much on Foles, and they thought they had it, you know, dialed in, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's Foles. And he figured it out. So, yeah, 2 weeks in a row, defense, special teams, not good. Something's got to change. And I think I mentioned last week that the Falcons evidently have a tradition called something like Total Truth Monday. So I bet the last 2 weeks in there have not been pleasant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So the Bears ended up winning that game.
Yep.
Nick Foles, who's a class guy. This is class guy, Trubisky got pulled, which you talked about, and he came in and marched him down and said, game over.
Yeah.
Raiders lost to the Patriots. What do you think about the Raiders' defensive front seven? I'm not impressed.
Yeah. After that game, as far as and I only did top 10 compared to what I did last week and to what USA Today put out. But to me, the Patriots did not improve or lessen their position with that win yesterday. The Raiders did go down. I think I had Raiders at 13, and now, you know, if I was to guess, they're probably maybe 15.
Well, my thing is Rob Burkhardt is a nice running back, but he's not an all-star.
Right.
And the Raiders made him look like an all-star, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's a lot like the Colts' first quarter yesterday, or Sunday.
Right. The Texans lose to the Steelers. That's pretty obvious. Steelers are a good team. I talked about this last night. The Colts won the game they should have won.
Yeah.
So, you know. There would have been a mutiny if they would have lost.
Oh, there would have been. I got a trivia point for you on that.
Sure.
I'm in a survivor pool. I'm still alive. But I guess you can look at the stats of who picked what team for what week. 54.7% of the people in that pool picked the Colts to win. So if the Colts had not won that game, there would have been a mutiny.
Right. The Cowboys lose to the Seahawks. No surprise there. Talk to me about the Saints and the Packers, Rob. I know that's your team.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Side note, I told you when I drafted my fantasy team, I was wearing that Drew Brees beanie.
Yes.
You gave me.
I
can't find it now, and I'm heartbroken. But
No, man.
Yeah, I was going to wear it. But no, I'll find it. So
okay.
I literally put money on the Packers to win that game. And my theory is to help Drew Brees and the Saints get back to winning. I would rather do that every week and have them win and me lose, or I might as well get rich. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But some of the things I'm hearing about Drew Brees is, oh, this is it. You know, he's past his prime and this is his last year and all that. Michael Thomas is out. It's not that Drew Brees can't throw the deep ball. It's that the other receivers, I think, aren't Michael Thomas to be able for him to have the real trust to do what he does with Michael Thomas. And yeah, there have been a couple of windows from what I've seen and thought I've heard that, you know, he could have done things different in that game, but Michael Thomas being gone changes that team a lot.
My takeaway was two things. You touched on it. Everybody's saying Drew Brees is over. And I'm like, no, Drew Brees isn't over. You said his top receiver's out. Kamara has to do more. Emmanuel Sanders has to step up. Smith needs to step up. the defense needs to step up. But my other thing is, Aaron Rodgers was hearing all week that Saints are going to beat him, Saints are going to beat him, Saints are going to beat him. And then he had a big old chip on his shoulder and said, oh, really? We'll see about that. So,
well, and that's why I couldn't refuse, and this is the first week I've done it, to make a wager, because the Packers were, I believe, pretty significant dogs going into that game.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's definitely no way. There's no way that's going to happen. So.
Right. The game I did not see, but it was an upset. The Chiefs proved why they're the Kings.
You know? I imagine the gambling sites probably had wagers on this. The answer on two counts was week three. The week we find out who the true number one team in the NFL is.
Right.
And when we start getting our first COVID cases in the NFL.
And the other funny thing is I play Madden on my phone, and Lamar Jackson is the quarterback on the game, but Mahomes is rated higher.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So. So, Mahomes has all the weapons, man. I mean, it's just pick your poison. The defense isn't as tight as he may like it, but I mean, with Mahomes, man, he's just on another level.
He is so, it right now. He is definitely it
yeah.
right now.
And nothing against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback, but
they just had a bad day. And kind of to compare it against the Saints and maybe the early slump that both the teams are in or starting to be in, is the analysis I saw on ESPN before coming on here. One of the commentators pointed out that the Ravens got away from what they were trying to do because they were trying to be like Kansas City. Every time they threw it to Mark Andrews, it was drop, three in a row. Then turn it over, give it to Mahomes. He goes and does what he does, and it goes from a 6-3 deficit to, I don't know, what was it, 100-3 at one point? It got blurry after that. So,
we're going to take a brief sidestep from football and talk about the NBA. The NBA Finals, do you know who's in?
It's Lakers, and I don't know because I missed that.
Okay. It's the Lakers and the Heat.
Is it?
So, I'm not a big fan of this guy, but I respect what he said. JJ Redick said that, and everybody's saying Lakers again. And, JJ Redick said, the Heat are like the 2004 Detroit Pistons. You better watch out for them. So
I would hope so. I mean, I can imagine it's kind of like the Patriots for all those years. It's California rooting for LA and the rest of the country not. I mean, well, and then there's you, Joe. I know you're a Lakers fan. Sorry.
No, I'm a classic Lakers fan, but I'm not a LeBron guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like Antonio Davis, but I'm not a LeBron guy because I think he's a crybaby. But as an athlete, and the stuff he does off the court is awesome, no doubt.
Right. Yeah.
But the crying he does to the referees is like enough.
Right.
So
I got a thing I wanted to mention. I saw a story. You saw that Doc Rivers got let go finally for not winning, right?
Yeah, with the Clippers, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to see somebody get fired for something that's actually tied to job performance. So.
And
from that organization, I mean, but I'll leave it at that.
And I guess Tyronn Lue's the number one guy.
Yeah.
So, but you know, Doc will find another spot. I have no doubt about that.
I agree.
I'm saying with an upset, the Heat in seven.
Who has home? Well, I guess it's all home court now, isn't it?
and that's the thing. Okay, so you've got LeBron, and you've got Antonio Davis. So who's the third person for the Lakers?
That's a good question.
Right. So if you double team, the Heat play really good defense, so you could double team Antonio. And I don't know if you could do one-on-one on LeBron, or you could double Antonio part of the time and double LeBron part of the time. But yeah, I mean,
if they're going to play like the Pistons, they'll figure it out.
Oh yeah. And the Heat's coach has won a championship. Frank Vogel hasn't.
Well, so. And that would be the only reason I would root for the Lakers is he deserves one because he is a damn good coach.
He's a great guy, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. So, yeah, I mean, so let's see if I can do this from memory. It's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You got Hassan Whiteside taking on Davis.
Oh, wow.
And then you've got I don't know who the third guy is, but I know the only big name I know is Andre Iguodala is coming off the bench.
Iggy.
Yeah. So it's possible.
Yeah.
So, and my brother said it's going to happen, so it's possible. So big week four for the NFL. And my question to you, Rob, is why are all the Thursday night games crap?
Yeah. Here's part of it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And I mean, you could have had the Chiefs against the Ravens and you might have had a totally different result because it is a short week, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so I don't know if Thursday night games are kind of that, flex schedule or whatever, where they can just pick whatever two teams they want to stick in there, or if they're hard coded, that this is what, in other words, like right now we would know exactly who's playing on Thursday night in December.
Right.
I think it is hard coded, but I don't know. Fate, irony. The teams aren't going to play well anyhow, so why not put the worst ones in there every week?
You know what? If I was a fantasy guy, I would go get Frank Gore against the Broncos defense. It's the Jets against the Broncos. I would go get Frank Gore in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah. Frank Gore, he's one of the best, and I'm not saying that just because he was a Colt, but he is one of the best. All time. The result this last week of Miami beating Jacksonville, I think, does speak a little bit to the fact that Jacksonville probably wasn't ready.
No.
That's why Miami beat them,
Right.
So you could easily get a Jets first win on this Thursday night against Denver.
Because Broncos was without their number one running back, Phillip Lindsay, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so because he's hurt. So, I mean.
He was hurt for me last year in fantasy, so.
Oh, yeah, he's kind of brittle, so I hear you.
Yeah.
So, the big local game, Colts are favored. Colts in Soldier Field against the Bears at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
I know.
You want me to touch it first?
It's going to be a very good game. It'll be a very, very, very good game. But, well, Frank Reich knows Nick Foles pretty well.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. It'll be a good one.
I don't mind breaking this down. I think it's going to be the defensive game. I think both quarterbacks are going to manage the games. I don't think anybody's going to light anybody up, but I think it's going to be the defensive games. The Colts have a really strong defense. It's going to be the Colts defense against Nick Foles and the Bears defense against Phillip Rivers. And the Bears have gave up a ton of points. So,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a field goal game, and that's kind of where the line is, but who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's going to be a good game.
It definitely will. And, as far as playoff implications with, three so far Titans players coming down with COVID.
Oh, I didn't know.
I understand. Yeah, that's the news today. That's why I was mentioning week three has been when the COVID starts emerging.
Wow.
It's not just three players. They're not skilled players per se. They're either reserve, backup, or special teams. But here's the thing: you have one defensive lineman, one reserve tight end, and the long snapper. So you've got a member from each three discipline. Plus, I think they said four assistants, and we're not going to know really before probably the end of the week. In other words, they can't go in the facility until Saturday at the earliest. So they're doing virtual training and virtual game planning for the Pittsburgh game.
They have Pittsburgh?
They have Pittsburgh.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. And so Pittsburgh gets to sit back and just say, okay, well, we're COVID-free. We're going to do what we want. Get ready.
The game,
potentially, because the league wants that game to happen, might not be until a week from right now. Because they don't know who needs quarantine and who doesn't. And so if the Colts pull out a win against the Bears and Titans stumble because of medical stuff and Pittsburgh beats them, there's a tie in the AFC East.
Right.
So there's some implications there. That's why I referenced that, because that's why I'm not really wanting to touch the Bears-Colts game, because you obviously know I want the Colts to win.
right, sure. That's fair. Next game's your game, Saints and the Lions. What you got?
Yeah. This is
payback for Saints. It should be.
Well, you have Thomas in fantasy, right?
He's undroppable. I sure do.
He's on IR officially?
No, he's questionable.
Yeah, that's the way Mostert is in my league. He's questionable and was out, obviously, this last week. So I would say that the Saints have to win that game. They will figure that part out. The Lions, who did they beat? They beat somebody good, didn't they? Week three.
I don't know.
I think they beat Arizona.
I think you're correct. Yes, they did. That was enough.
Yeah. So there's that. But Kyler Murray did not have a good game at all. He threw three picks.
Right.
And Drew Brees is not Kyler Murray, even though he might not be Drew Brees of 2007. So
I do want to go back to the Colts for a minute. Do you think the Colts have gotten more conservative now that they have some stud running backs?
More balanced. I'd say balanced. Not conservative, because when you got Wright calling fourth and ones every single time they're going for it.
Well, that's progressive. I'll give you that.
But to the point of that, the analytics or the math doesn't lie. It usually works. So you keep doing it.
Right.
You know, and you, when you got a line like that, yeah, you do it. So, I think it falls back to, you've got a veteran quarterback that does quite a few things well, and the team is around that quarterback. And as long as the quarterback doesn't, keep the game close and the defense can play like it's been playing and the kicking game doesn't fall apart, you're going to be okay.
Well,
the running game just happens as a result.
It's documented. I'm not a Rivers guy, but what Rivers does really well is manage the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So if he can get the defense on his side, and if he can do the dink and dunk kind of thing, and if he can hand the ball off when he needs to, he's a really good manager.
Yeah, I'm not a Rivers fan at all, even though he's here in Indianapolis. I think a lot of it goes back to the earlier years before Peyton got his first Super Bowl and the Chargers costing so many seasons when
who was the guy who was the guy that was supposed to go left and he went right and Rivers caught him?
Yeah.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't remember who that was. I don't remember that.
Crap. I know where I was.
No, that was Roethlisberger, right?
Oh, that was the game here, I think. Yeah.
That was Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Roethlisberger, not Rivers. But the game I'm thinking of, it was mid-January. I think it was the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was at San Diego.
Right.
And
Antonio Gates had a field day.
That's the one. That's the one. And I I went home and called it a week. That was a Saturday night, so you know kind of week that was.
Yeah, man, Antonio Gates was money from Kent State, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made the best. Rivers. He made Rivers like I don't know why he's not in the Hall of Fame, but anyway,
he will be. I think he'll be one that is. But yeah, that guy was awesome.
Oh yeah. Raiders got a tough schedule. They've got the afternoon game in Las Vegas, and the Bills come to visit Josh Allen.
Yep. I have the Bills in the top five now.
Yeah. They play in the AFC East, man.
Yeah.
So if they can be consistent, you know, they can do some big things. So I'm not sold on Allen yet, but he's getting there.
So. Well, I had the Bills seventh last week in the win over the Rams.
Yeah.
That's why I bumped him up.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Stephon Diggs now, and they've got who's the running back? I'm drawing a blank.
Singletary.
Yeah, Singletary. They got Singletary. So they got some nice pieces to the puzzle, without a doubt.
I think they could match the Patriots. I really do. So
I mean, the Patriots' defensive front seven are going to have to bring their A game.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I didn't know if our buddy Ricky T was going to be on, so I featured this next game. The Ravens at the Washington football team.
Yeah, it's well, you remember the podcast we did where he went into the whole reason for all that? And I was like, yeah, the Washington football team will probably be all dressed in black after that one's over. Because
they'll make them walk home from both.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think it's at Washington. So
yeah, and they said last night, yeah, you're right, it's at Washington, because they said it's going to be a short bus trip.
But I mean, Snyder, pick a name. Pick a stinking name. What's the matter with the Red Hawks, or you know?
What I had thrown around doing is, just for the sake of, you know, being equal, right, I would start referring to, say, the Chiefs as the Kansas City football team, and the Packers as the Green Bay football team, et cetera, et cetera. The Purdue football team.
Yeah, it's bananas. I'm like, get out of town.
Yeah.
So. the night game. The night game it's okay. It's Eagles at the Niners at 8:00 on NBC. So.
Eagles at the Niners.
Yep.
I haven't figured out the NFC East yet, but I will say the one team that's in the top 10 I have right now is the Cowboys at number 10.
I like the Cowboys. Not in love with the Cowboys, but I like the Cowboys. So they have some. I mean, I love Amari Cooper for obvious reasons. He was a Raider, and you know, Mark Davis was a dumper getting rid of him. So, because I mean, he's money. You throw the ball in his zip code, he catches the ball.
Right.
So,
On that, I mean, when I try to do a comparison, you know, we're not even a quarter way through the season. I'm looking at what are the top 10 teams, the top 10 that would most likely, if the season ended right now, because again, COVID's showing up.
Yeah.
If the season ended right now, who are the top 10 that are most likely going to be in the playoffs based on their schedule, division, all of that. And I'm not even taking it out a full 14, because this is the first year where there will be 14 teams in the playoffs, not 12.
Oh, okay.
So really, you know, like the Raiders,
right.
if they're 15th right now overall,
yeah,
all they gotta do is win a couple of, you know, games against Denver, and maybe they make right. the cut, you know,
right.
Because Kansas City is going to be undefeated for a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're going to be, you know, somebody may pull an upset on them, but I don't know who. Maybe Pittsburgh.
Chargers maybe. Almost did. Chargers almost did. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. The Monday night game, this is going to be a free-for-all. Falcons at the Packers at 8 o'clock.
Falcons at the Packers.
Yeah.
Well, at least I get to get a full night's sleep that night.
Go to bed by halftime. Next.
Yeah. And you know, the Falcons, I mean, part of me, just for the whole, you know, gawker aspect of my personality, would love to be a fly on the wall in the last couple of weeks at their team meetings or whatever. But another part of me, I'm just like, I don't want to know.
So we got some extra time today. I made a mistake earlier. I said on the Lakers, here's how much of a Pacer fan I am. I said the Lakers that had LeBron and Antonio Davis. Well, Antonio Davis is on ESPN. Oops, it's Anthony Davis. Yeah.
Yes.
From Kentucky. So there
yeah.
you go. So yeah. We got some extra time. How did you become a Colts fan?
Yep. And it goes really way, way, way back when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I've always loved the NFL.
Yeah.
And during that time, I remember having whatever team was the team that won the Super Bowl. I had their jacket. It was Cowboys for a while. I think for a while I had a Broncos jacket. I don't know where that came from. But and then, of course, Steelers. And then 1984 happened, literally. And Colts came to town. And right. I remember watching for about 14 years really, really, really bad football.
Harbaugh was fine.
That was an awesome stretch. And that was, I'll say whatever, 10 to 12 years of really, really, really bad football.
Yeah. Captain Comeback
was awesome. And I remember the game against the Steelers where Aaron Bailey dropped the ball. And it was me and a bunch of buddies down in Terre Haute were watching that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he caught it. You thought he caught it. And we're dancing around like idiots for about 5 minutes before we realize.
However,
he dropped the ball.
Right.
And to this day, when I see that replay, I'm just like, close your arms, man. Just close your arms this time.
My story. Have I told you the story of the Raiders game for my birthday?
No.
Okay. My dad, they had towels they handed out that year, and it was September 8th, 2000, my 30th birthday. And it was Gruden, Rich Gannon, Tim Brown, Charlie Garner, and Woodson, and Beaker.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Peyton Manning, The Edge, and Marvin Harrison.
Reggie Wayne on there?
No, not yet. Not in 2000, no.
It wasn't the triplets yet. Okay.
No, it was the triplets. It was Peyton, The Edge, and Peyton. Marv.
And yeah.
We were in the upper deck, me and my dad and my brother. And the Colts were on fire. So I think the halftime score was like 24-7. And then Rich Gannon came storming back.
Came back.
The game was like 35-31. It was like, hello. So that was fun.
I remember that time because the place I was working at, a coworker of mine was a huge Raiders fan. I mean, yeah. Huge. And so he loved it. And so when the Raiders lost to the Bucks.
Yeah. Oh, well, do you know the story about that Chucky, game?
With Chucky, I went back to him. I was like, is Rich Gannon going to retire now?
Do you know the story about that game?
Uh-uh.
Oh my mercy. Bill Callahan was the assistant coach for John Gruden in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
And they agreed that Callahan would hand the game over. Yeah. And Tim Brown said that happened. And Jerry Rice said that happened. And then Callahan, who's still a coach in the NFL, said, no, it didn't happen. And I'm like, you're trying to tell me that Tim Brown and Jerry Rice lied about the only time they were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And Barrett Strong, who was the center for the Raiders, left because they didn't change the plays. So that's why Gannon threw four picks that day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that Bucks team, if I remember right, had one of the greatest Boilermakers ever.
Oh yeah,
you're in the good fullback. Hands with Allstott. Yeah, you're in good hands Allstott. With Allstott.
But it had one of the worst quarterbacks, Brad Johnson, the manager.
Well, and that's why I say, like, you know, one of the Ravens' Super Bowl wins is a Trent Dilfer win.
Right. It was all defense.
It's funny how you look back on this stuff, and it's like, you know, it's just weird.
But do you know the story of the Bucks that wanted to come to play for Dungy?
I don't. I did read Dungy's book about that. I don't know if you've read that, but it opens with him getting let go from the Bucks, and so, you know, I really had a connection to that. But what about the players?
The rumor was John Lynch, Warren Sapp. Who was the other big guy from the Bucks?
There was Lynch. There was Sapp.
Derek Brooks. All wanted to come and play for the Colts for the minimum salary. Mr. Irsay declined.
But Bubba McFarland did, and it wasn't until they brought him that the Colts won a Super Bowl. I've noted that for a long time. Right. It wasn't until they got him in the middle that it you know, made everything just enough to get past the Patriots that year. So, wow, that would have been wow.
Yeah. So, and I get why Dunn.
Are you there?
I get to go for another Super Bowl, but wonder what would have happened if he would have went for one. Again.
Yeah. And the second Super Bowl lost by the Colts to Drew Brees, I'm okay with it.
I was okay with it too, except that Tom Moore called the same plays and Peyton threw it to Reggie Bush three times in a row.
But at least we had, what was it, Haskins or Hankins or whatever his name was, married to Kendra for that time, and they had their baby at IU. That was all the news.
Yeah.
So we had that going for us, which was nice.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're talking about Hugh Hefner's girl.
Yeah. All things football.
Of course. Can you tell me the story of Pat McAfee or no?
Yeah.
Okay. I have one too.
He I met him once. There's a photo somewhere. I've got to find it. And this would have been probably 2011, 2012, where I worked. They'd come in and do a autograph signing day for basically it was for charitable events and things like that.
Right.
And he was there, and I was going through the line, and you could have your picture taken with him. I can't still remember the person he was with that day. He's no longer with the Colts, but he was just an absolute beast at safety. And he was one of these, he had two settings, on and off. And when he was on, he was on. And yeah. I think that's why he got hurt pretty quick and didn't stay with the NFL that long. But for Pat McAfee, it was back when he had his hair, before he got his hair cut.
Right.
And he said something to me as I was walking up, and he could tell, you know, I'm meeting Pat McAfee, for goodness sake. He gives me, right as they're taking a picture, a big bear hug. I mean, he just reaches up and pulls me down, and I'm sitting there kind of with a squeamish grin on my face like this. And that's what the picture is. So, you know, I've shared it with friends and family over the years, and I was like, this was the day that Pat McAfee assaulted me.
So I don't remember the guy's name, but Ken Wilkinson's husband, wasn't he the guy that took the football off the face mask that the Saints recovered and scored in the Super Bowl?
Yes. That's the guy. That was the reference, because he basically lost the Super Bowl for the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was one and done.
Was a contributing factor to it. Yes.
Because they did the onside kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, what? This is a curveball. Face mask. I was like, yikes.
That's the play. That's the play right there. All things football.
Yeah. My story with Pat McAfee is pretty cool. I can plug them, because I mean they're a great charity. He would come. Two Colts players would come for United Way, and they'd come and sign autographs, like you talked about it. And Anthony Costanza, the offensive lineman's pretty reserved, so. But McAfee's an entertainer. So, and McAfee's very comfortable with people. So, and he's pretty much the life of the party. So, I was the first one in line, and they had just got there before the Colts corporation got there. And it was time for signing, and Pat says, I don't have anything to sign with. And I said, well, you know, Pat, I've got a blue Sharpie. You can have that. Don't worry about it. He says, oh man, thank you so much. I said, so I went over and got Anthony Costanza's signed on a team picture poster. He signed one corner. And then it happened to be my son's birthday. And I said, hey, can you personalize the signing? And he put happy birthday to my son,
awesome.
Pat McAfee. So cool awesome. People.
Being a clown, yeah, he absolutely is. I forgot one closing matter with that. I was there since the end of the event. And Pat... I'm sure he got permission, but as he was leaving, he proceeded to grab a full tray of cookies and walk out the door.
So, am I surprised?
Well, I'm sure he was head back to the complex and, you know, kind of.
And who's going to stop?
Bring guests. Exactly. He's Pat McAfee.
Right.
It's like, I'm sure he wasn't going to eat all those by himself. So.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe he was. You know, the high metabolism. He's just on and off. Kind of like.
Oh,
Anger. That's the guy's name. Anger. Pat Anger.
Angerer, yes.
Yes, yes. that was the defensive safety.
Right, right.
He was from University of Iowa, but those were the two that were there that day. And but yeah, Pat McAfee's the one that stole the cookies after giving me a bear hug. So I got that for posterity's viewing whenever needed.
Do you remember anything about the Baltimore Colts?
Very, very, very little. I do remember, you know, and it's because I was 8.
Okay.
I was 10 to 12 when all that was going on with the Mayflower, but it was
me too.
Obviously local news here.
Yeah.
Bill Hudnut,
right,
was a visionary. And
yeah,
thank God for him.
Yeah.
I know Baltimore doesn't like the Ursays for, you know, taking the books with them and all that. But it's absolutely what Indianapolis needed when Indianapolis needed it. And
yeah,
and so that's really when it got on the radar for me, because up to that point, honestly, it was the Steelers, and had been,
right,
since about 1978. Yeah.
For me, it was the I followed the Super Bowl champions until I was 10, and then it was the Raiders. But the Bears were always in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Did you ever have a electric football?
I did not.
Oh, my mercy. Oh, and
yeah,
that was so fun. I had me and my brother had electric football, which is primitive compared to toys now, but it was the Cowboys and the Broncos.
Yeah.
And it was fun at the time.
The closest thing I had to that, it was a handheld, and it was probably 5 years after Pong had come out, but
yeah,
it was a handheld. I don't even remember the maker of it anymore, but you had dots, you had blips and dots, and you could throw a football, and it was a red dot, and you know, you would kind of follow the screen that way. But that's as close as I got to anything like that. So, but yeah, I've enjoyed football for a very, very, very long time, in really all sports. But as I've gotten older, you know, football's still the number one for me. I have found, though, that over the last 6 or 7 months, I can watch golf better now than I can when it had full fans in attendance, just because you're more, for me, I'm more tuned into the actual golf game.
Yeah.
So like with the US Open being on and things like that, I think golf and football right now are there for me. I can't wait to see the Masters in November. That'll be neat.
That was my buddy's got that football game. They also had a basketball game.
That's right. That's right.
And he's still got that football game, and it works.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, mine didn't, because I think I played it so hard that the batteries blew on the back of it, and it was just it had to go. So
the other game, well, I'm convinced it's sports. That's fine. The other game I had, me and my brother had, is there was a cardboard backboard and a hoop. You would have to flip ping pong balls into the hoop to score.
Nice.
So yeah, it was fun.
Sounds like a lot of the college games we'd invent.
at the fraternity, yes.
Yeah.
The fraternity house,
yeah.
Yes.
We came up with a lot of neat stuff. I mean, some of it is not up to code or regulation, but we all walked away, so that's what's important.
That's funny. You went to Purdue, right?
I've taken classes at Purdue. My sister graduated Purdue. My aunt graduated Purdue. My uncle graduated Purdue. But I did not get a full degree from Purdue. I went to Franklin College for undergrad.
Okay.
And then Indiana Wesleyan for graduate. So I'm actually a private school.
Did you happen to go to any Purdue football games or basketball games?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got to see Drew Brees beat IU in the last Oaken Bucket. He was there.
Yeah.
I got to see Drew Brees lose to Washington in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I was at the Rose Bowl. And if you've never been out there, it is a bucket list item. Right?
You've got to go. Without a doubt.
Attended the parade. A story about that day. It is they talk about, I think it's the Army being the toughest job you'll ever love.
Yeah,
that's the toughest 24 to 48 hours you'll ever love, because the night before the Rose Bowl, there was a Purdue event at Universal Studios amusement park, and they had a special section just for Purdue fans and everything like that. And we went from there, and we were staying with a friend of my mom's from high school who lived in the West Hollywood Hills. So we left that event at midnight their time. We got back to the house probably about 1 o'clock, and we had to be up at 6 to be at the parade site by 6:30 their time, because on the East Coast, it's 9:30, right?
Pacific time, right, sure.
Well, guess what's happening? Because this is New Year's Eve, right?
Forget about it.
Guess what's happening in the West Hollywood Hills at 1 o'clock, you know?
Yeah.
And so it got so bad about 3:30, the owner of our house that we were staying at went over to the owner of the other house and said, it's time to shut it off. I got people that have to be hit a parade in 2 hours. And, but when we get to the parade, you know, all that aside, it was a beautiful day, and got into the game. It was a hundred thousand people plus.
Yeah.
But you get in your seats, and the guy my sister was dating at the time was what they call a super fan. And they had been actually filmed on ESPN doing push-ups and the whole thing, you know, had their thing. Well, before the game, her then boyfriend had met Joe Tiller's wife, and he had a tattoo.
Nice.
Tattoo. He had a autograph on his chest, said, "Go Boilers, Mrs. Tiller." And then they proceeded to lose.
Yeah.
But in that game, there was a guy named Tiasa Sopo that got drafted by the Raiders.
Yeah, he did nothing.
Yeah.
Cannon got dinged. Yeah. It was over.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, that's my Purdue history, and kind of, you know, being able to go to the games. I've been to a couple other Purdue events. I got to see, I've been to Mackey a few times.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, I think the most recent one was probably about, 5 years ago. A lady that worked on our floor, she's retired now, but I called her the other Purdue fan on our floor. She had season tickets, and she gave me those, and it was kind of a early season game against Purdue. But at the time, the previous coach wasn't very good, and the Boilers lost that one. But I've been to a few of their games.
Sounds like it. I was with the public radio station there in Muncie at Ball State, and I was able to snag. I was able to snag a media pass. So three times I was able to go see Ball State basketball, which was a lot of fun, you know, and they feed you and everything. And
right.
So it was cool. And then, you know, I'd go produce my, you know, my 2 minute wrap up. I do my 2 minute wrap up, and then it get aired the next day. So it was very fun.
That's what Ball State's for. you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
David Letterman. Home of David Letterman.
That's another story for another time. It's where it's at now. It's not the same. Okay, Rob, this broadcast is brought to you by the letter L, 1 Peter 5:7, and let's please pray for the virus to be over soon. I'm Joe Carney for my buddy Rob and Andy's Local Flavor. I'll see you soon.